Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Think Orange podcast. My name is Dave, and I am joined by the lovely Ash. Hey, how you doing?
It is so good to be back.
We are back.
We are.
It's been so long since we've been in the Orange Bunker together.
I know. I hope you're having a great summer, Dave.
They redecorated the bunker while we were gone.
Yeah, I know.
What is that about?
Well, our producer is the man. He's always changing it up for us.
He does such a great job. Shout out to Big Kev.
Kevin Jennings.
Doing a fantastic job. Now, Ash, you were actually away. Where did you go?
I was actually in Uganda with a team of middle school students and their fathers.
Are you serious?
It was so fun. These dads took 10 days off of work,
yeah,
flew across the world and served shoulder to shoulder with their 13-year-old kid.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. What was the highlight for you?
Well, I think that there were a couple highlights, but for me specifically, watching the dads and the middle school students interact was so fun. And yeah, I had so many dads say to me, like, you know, I drop my kid off at church and then I don't get to see them there. And I drop my kid off at school and I don't get to see them there. I'm watching them like grow up before my eyes in these 10 days. Like, I had no idea how mature they were getting.
That's
or
so good.
Immature they still were, depending on the situation.
That sounds like absolutely an amazing trip. What was the weather like in Africa?
You know, it was good. It was a little less hot than actually Atlanta,
which
was fabulous. Oh, yeah, I had a sweatshirt on in the morning and the evening.
Oh, nice.
You know, had to wear those pants and long skirt during the day.
Was it sunny the whole time?
No, we had rain.
It rained?
Oh, God bless the rains down in Africa, Dave.
That sounds... I feel a song coming on.
Do you know it?
I don't know it. How does it go?
All I can think about is that line. God bless the rains down in Africa.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Well, thanks for asking. I went away as well.
Tell us about the homeland.
I was actually down under. You going to do it?
I don't know it.
You don't know that I come from a land down under song? How do you not know that?
No, my mind went to The Little Mermaid.
That is hilarious. Yes, I actually went back home to Australia for a couple of weeks. Got to visit some family. Got to eat some great Australian food like meat pies and sausage rolls and fish and chips.
I notice your accent is a little thicker. Since
is it
you've
really?
Been back, yeah, it's a little bit thicker.
G'day, Ash. How you doing?
Oh, goodness. There it is.
Hey, true story. When we got to Australia, we felt everybody else talked so weird. It was so weird. We went to this one, like, it's called a chicken shop. Like, it's a shop where you buy roasted chickens. And this guy walked in and he literally went up to the counter and he said, "How's it going?" And I nearly burst out laughing, spat fries and gravy everywhere because he just said, "How's it going?"
And you just said,
"Do you know
spat.
What that is? Do you know what that is? Do you know what that means?
Fries and gravy?
No. How's it going?
How's it going?
How's it going?" That's what he said. It was
but
hilarious.
That's how you sound to us.
Is it really?
Yeah, a little bit,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to try and change that.
No, I love it about you, Dave. Keep talking with that lovely Australian accent.
Well, I'll do my very best. But we're also going to do some listening today because we have an amazing episode 13 coming up. We've got two tremendously talented people who are going to be sharing a bunch of their thoughts. We're actually going to be hearing from Pat Rowland and Jeff Henderson. Now, you've got a good relationship with Jeff, right?
I do.
Tell us about that.
Gosh, Jeff is amazing. He, you know, for the time that I was on staff at North Point, he would come every time. I teach in the middle school environments there, and he would come listen to me teach. The next morning, I would have an entire email list of feedback from him.
Yeah.
Of like what I did well, what he noticed.
Yeah.
Just so much encouragement, what I should focus on next time to improve. He really invested in me and not just me, but he like really invested in female communicators in the North Point world, which I was so grateful. He took like 10 of us for 6 months, brought us through the whole preaching rocket thing and talked to us about how he prepared for talks. And I appreciated that because he was invested in helping women communicate.
Love it. He is a fantastic pastor. He's a good friend of both of ours. He's a great friend of the pod. And he is like he's one of the guys at North Point who I think is not only just a great communicator, but he's a fantastic pastor as well. I remember when I spoke at Gwinnett, he literally texted me every day in the week leading up to the Sunday to tell me that he was praying for me. Jeez. Meant the world to me. He pastorally cared for me so, so incredibly well.
And it's not just the people that he's investing in, like being communicators. Like he remembers names like nobody I have ever met. And yes. You all believe that he loves people when
yes,
you know him.
Because he totally does. And we're going to be hearing from him, but we're also going to be hearing from Pat Rowland. Now, Pat is the executive pastor at Woodside Bible Church in Detroit.
He's got some good things to say.
He has some fantastic things to say about what it means to reach and keep families at your church. Such a huge thing, considering that the average regular attendee attending church only attends once every 4 to 6 weeks. Did you know that?
I didn't. That statistic that's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. It used to be, previously it was 3 weekends of every month, but now they're saying that the regular attendee attending a church attends once every 4 to 6 weeks.
Wait, hold on. So he's from 3 out of 4 weeks to 1 out of 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's changed. Woo! And so I know that Pat has some amazing things about what your church can do to keep families in your church and keep reaching out to them. So it's going to be a fantastic episode. And you know what, Ash, you know, people who have been listening to this for a long time probably already know this, but if you've missed the last couple of episodes, or maybe this is your first time with us, we want to let you know that the reason we have such amazing communicators like Pat Rowland, like Jeff Henderson, is because we do so many events at Orange, don't we, Ash? Which events are your favorite that we do?
Oh man. Well, I love Orange Conference because of the amount of people that are around and just talking about the same thing. There's an energy that's so fun because ministry can be so lonely. So when you're hanging out with people who are doing it too, it makes it, I don't know. You remember why it's fun in the beginning.
Well, we pull all of our communicators on this podcast directly from either the Orange Tour or the Orange Conference. And in fact, today's episode is sponsored by the one and only Orange Conference 2018. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And here's the great thing. If you register for the Orange Conference 2018 before July 13, you can save $110 off the regular rates. Is that amazing?
It makes me excited. We're talking about 2018.
Already. Amazing. But who doesn't want to save $110? So you can do that right now. Just register before July 13. Just go to theorangeconference.com. That website again, theorangeconference.com. And the great thing is if you sign up and you go along to that, you're going to hear content way before it ever arrives on this podcast because this is where we're drawing our content from.
Yep.
It's going to be absolutely amazing. So make sure you check that out. Well, Ash, I don't want to waste any more time with us just sitting around catching up. We can do that in just a little while. But I'm going to throw straight over to our first audio clip, which is going to be from the amazing Pat Rowland. And then straight after that, we're going to be hearing from Jeff Henderson, who was interviewed by a very good friend of the pod, Tony Collier. So check this out.
There's some challenges that we're facing that I think I just want to kind of hit those because I think that's going to shape a little bit of our conversation today. Challenges that we are facing today. First challenge is families have less time for your church. If you don't know that by now, most of you probably do, but families have less time for your church. 67% of Americans are dual income homes now. Families, both parents are working a full-time job or a form of like full-time and part-time. Dual-income homes, programs, they have sports programs, school programs, lessons, extracurricular activities. Have the minivan running 7 days a week. This is true in our home. We've got two in high school, one and getting ready to go into middle school, and we are on the go constantly, moving and doing a lot of things. And so all these kind of issues and those kind of things keep us busy, which means no extra time. And so by virtue of a busy schedule, the families in your community really have less time for church. Barna just has done a lot of stuff on that. And there's some research I want to hit on that. But you guys know a number of the research that shows like how many students are walking away from the church. And so we've got this 20s and 30s demographic that is now stepping out of the church. And so we've been hearing this for like the last 10 years. And now those students have been stepping out of church. Now they're moving into those 20s and 30s. I was talking with David Travis of Leadership Network about this just a couple weeks ago. And he shared this stat with me. He's like, you've heard the stats. You've heard how many people are walking away from church. It's something like only like 30% of the 20s and 30s are now attending church. He asked me, he goes, do you know how many back in the 1970s what the percentage of 20s and 30s that were actually going to church. Anybody know what that percentage was? 28%. It's the exact same percentage that we're showing today. But here's the catch. Here's the catch and the challenge with that is that regular tenders are now being redefined. So those 20s and 30s back in 1970, which would have been like my parents, when they stepped back and started going back to church, they committed to going to church and they were going all the time. They went kind of every week. We went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, revival, summer stuff, VBS. We were a part of all of it. But nowadays, these 20s and 30s, if they do come back to church, they're not coming back every week. Listen to this. This is from Barna's stuff. It says, the typical rhythm of a family, even a good Christian family, is becoming less connected to church engagement. 2 decades ago, a regular churchgoer was a person who attended at least 3 weekends per month, and often several times per week. But today, a regular churchgoer shows up for worship once every 4 to 6 weeks. So I read that, and I'm like, I want to test that out. So I looked at our main campus, our resource campus, our original campus, our Troy campus. For the last 5 years, we've been planning these campuses, and that campus really hasn't grown much. It's pretty much stayed pretty much the same. And so our kids ministry at that campus, we looked at the research, and we went into our data and looked at it. We figured we've grown about 10% in kids ministry over the last 5 years. With every week, our average weekly thing. Then we said, well, let's look at this. Let's see, what is the regular attender? If a kid attends one time per month, how many kids do we have? We get the research, what we found is that those numbers have grown by 40%. So what we used to define as an every week person doesn't come every week. They come about once a month now. That's redefining those regular tender. Here's the next one. The traditional family is becoming the exception. The traditional family is becoming the exception. We know that, we've heard that, we've kind of seen and maybe heard that in culture, but in the church, we've been really slow to adapt to that. Now, I want you to understand, I believe that there's a biblical ideal for the structure of the family that God created. But there's also a cultural reality that we have to understand if these are the families that we're trying to reach. So our default is that to try and build around traditional family, but that tradition is quickly becoming the exception in our culture. Look at this research, Pew Research, our Barna research. 18% of the unchurched population fit that traditional family. So if you're trying to reach unchurched people right now in your community, and you've built your programs around kind of the traditional two-parent family, you're only looking at a market share of about 18% of those unchurched students. This Pew Research came out in 2013, and you can see this graphic. In 1960, showed that 73% of families were two married parents. These kids grew up with two married, their biological parents in the family. 73%, 14% were parents, our kids living in a home with two parents, but one was probably a step parent. And then a single parent home was 9%. Jump ahead to that, to today, 2013. 46% of kids are in a home where they have both biological parents that are married, that they're living with. The blended family hasn't changed much. At 15%, this is the one that blew me away. Single parents, 34%. 34% of kids in America are in a single parent home. Now, that could be like cohabitating parents. That could be same sex parents, or that could be a single parent. This has caused me to wrestle with a lot of those things. If the traditional family is kind of shrinking, and we've geared a lot of our language and a lot of our programs, a lot of our things around that idea, we're leaving out nearly a whole nother group, 34% of families that we want to try and reach in our communities. When it comes to parents and reaching out and connecting and leveraging the influence of that, we need to understand that every day matters, not just Sunday, not just our weekly experience. We need to be intentional, not additional. Be intentional, not additional. Parents don't need another thing to remind them that they're failing, what they're failing at doing, right? They don't need another thing to do. So be intentional about what you're doing. Don't ask them to do one more thing. Try to leverage that opportunity. So here's how, one of the things we do, we try to focus on help parents create those rhythms in their home. And if you want a great resource that to talk more about this, pick up Parenting Beyond Your Capacity by Carrie Newhoff and Reggie. It's a great resource to help you think about that, how to create those rhythms. We do that at Woodside through the parent cues. It's the thing that Orange produces. If you're using the Orange curriculum, they give you this material, they give you these questions, they give you things to do that helps parents utilize and do those things in the natural rhythm of their schedule. We do that because I don't want to pay the dumb tax, okay? I don't want to focus energy on recreating something that's already done and done well. I'd rather focus the energy on how do I get this in parents' hands? How do I help equipping them? I'd rather our staff focus on that. So leveraging that. Leverage social media by catching parents where they're at. Email blasts. Get this stuff out to them. We blast out emails every week. We only do one. We try to streamline that. I push our team going, don't send out multiple emails. Like send out one and try and get that in there. Don't send out one email that's like, you've got to like scroll through everything. You know, pick a couple of things on there and focus on, and that's it. Because they're not going to read through it. But leveraging that, we use a lot with our social media and trying to get that stuff out. Be high challenging about the calling, but low challenge about the expectations. When it comes to helping parents understand that every day matters, we need to let them know, we need to be challenging them going, you're gonna always be a better influence than us. But I wanna be low challenge with expectations because I don't wanna set the bar so high that they don't even try. If I can get a dad that will just sit and like pray with his kids one night a week, if I can get a family to come around the dinner table like one night a week and have dinner together without their phones and without their TV, without the TV on, and just have a conversation. That's a win. And that's in a natural rhythm of what they're doing. And let it go from there. So be high challenge about the calling and low challenge about the expectations. And then finally, it has to start with you. If you're a leader that's not doing that in your own family, you can't expect the parents in your church to be doing it. Guys, it has to be in us before it's ever through us. And we have to set that tone and model that. And I'm going to tell you as a dad, I probably fail at that more than I succeed at it. But I want to keep trying. I want to set an expectation to a family and to parents that I'm not willing to live out myself. It has to be in us before it's through us.
Hey guys, it's Tony Collier, and I'm sitting here with a phenomenal leader, a thought leader in our nation, Jeff Henderson, the lead pastor of Gwinnett Church, as Dave said. And today we are talking about this very interesting topic. How do you think for your neighbor? And this topic is all about taking your own church with the fact that it's full of issues and caring about the people who are outside your wall. Jeff, how are you doing today, man?
Tony, it's great to see you. Now, Tony, you and Sam got married at our church, yeah. And you work at our church, and it's awesome. And you have the most amazing daughter. She's beautiful. She's going to be doing this.
Look, I'm praying for it right now. I'm like, Lord, just intercede, okay?
I think
intercede.
At 12, she's just going to take over the world and entertainment.
And I'm perfectly awesome. Fine with it. Take my place, girl. She's absolutely amazing. And thank you so much, Jeff. As Jeff said, Sam and I got married at Gwinnett Church, and it's just been an absolute honor. And what better church than to represent this topic? Gwinnett is all about being for the community and for the people that are in the community. So, Jeff, I have to ask you this question. Just so our listeners understand and know what this topic is all about, what does thinking of your neighbor mean?
Well, let's talk about our county that we're in, Tony. And in your context, if you're listening to this, your context is going to be different perhaps.
For sure.
You might be in a rural setting, an urban setting. So what we'd like to do is for you to take some principles that we're going to talk about, and then you will apply them to your context. So you may hear some of the things that Tony and I talk about. She's on our staff, so she does an amazing job. And you might think, oh, that doesn't really apply to my context. But we do think there are general principles that can help with
for
that.
For sure.
So let's back up. Let's talk about our county real quick.
Well,
Gwinnett County has been one of the fastest growing counties in the southeastern United States for the last two or three decades, really.
Yeah.
It's also been named as one of the most diverse counties.
For sure.
And so you look at this county, not only that, in the state of Georgia, 8 of the 10 largest high schools in the state of Georgia are actually in our county.
Yeah.
So The reason I say all that is that I believe that if the Apostle Paul was living in these days and he lived in the southeastern United States, I think he would say, what is this Gwinnett County? I want to go there. Right. You know, I want to go right. there. So now, again, that's our setting. So with that as our setting, as we go, we're one of the most diverse counties. We have a lot of high school students.
Yeah.
We have people coming in this county. We get have a significant message, and we've got to get outside the walls to share the message that God is for them. And one of the, we think, the most famous Bible verse of them all starts with the word for yeah. God so loved the world. So this is a powerful message, but I think the thing that resonates with you and me, Tony, and our team, is we haven't gotten over the fact that God's actually for us.
Yeah.
And so if somehow you get used to that statement and you kind of get so familiar with John 3:16, sometimes ministry can just become like a job.
For sure.
But if you let this whole idea that, wow, God's actually for me and I'm a mess, but if God's for me, that means that the gospel's specific to me, but it's bigger than me, then I want to share with the people coming into my community yeah. that God loves them as well.
I love it. I love it. And Jeff, earlier when you were speaking on stage, I got an opportunity to sit in the crowd and you shared with the crowd the mission statement, the mantra, if you will, behind Gwinnett Church. And right. I think it's so important that you share that with our listeners right now. Can you give that to them?
Absolutely. Well, to back up 6 years when we were launching anything. When you launch something, you get to do something. Hey, what do we want to be known for? And that's a question that is a great branding question, a great marketing question. So I have a background in marketing. And so you can take the boy out of marketing, but you can't take the marketing out of the boy. And so when we started the church, we just said, hey, what do we want to be known for? When people say something about our church, what do we want? They only have probably one sentence to say. What is that to say? And so we talked about that. And we said, well, many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for.
Wow.
We want to be known for what we're for. And so then we ask, well, what are we for? Well, we're for Gwinnett kids. We're for your wonderful daughter. We're for my wonderful daughter and son. We're for businesses. We're for this. We want this county to be great. And the best news of all is that God is for them. And so we said, if there's any message to hang our hat on, that's the message. And so what you have to do as a leader, leaders are repeaters. You have to say it over and over and over again. And I'm a big believer in Simon Sinek's start with why, which is great. But as a leader, you also have to stay with why. It's not enough to start with why. You got to stay with why.
That's so good.
And so you got to say it over and over and over again. That's why you help lead our Four Gwinnett store. And people might say, why do you have a store? Well, we don't make any money on the store, but what we're trying to do is resource our vision carriers to go into the community with Four Gwinnett shirts, Four Gwinnett mugs, Four Gwinnett car magnets. And what that does, Tony, is it helps, and we can talk a little bit more about this. And this is true whatever context you're in, I guarantee you this is true. You want to do two things. You want to create common ground with the people in your community, and you want to create conversations.
That's so good.
So what you're doing at the Four Gwinnett store, Tony, is you're resourcing people who will go into parks this Saturday. They're going to go to the ball fields, and they're going to have a Four Gwinnett shirt. This happens all the time. And somebody comes up and says, hey, I saw that on a car.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a school? Is that a business? And so we've then resourced them with messaging.
Yeah.
So the message comes out of them. Well, it's actually a church, and then they just share the message.
I love it.
And we've heard story after story after story of people coming to our churches and coming to our church because of those T-shirts and car magnets. And so what happens is you know, sometimes the church is known for being aggressive with the gospel. Here's a track, you know, preaching on the sidewalk that, you know, all that, and, you know, don't get me started on that. We don't want to be aggressive with the gospel. We want to be responsive with the gospel. So when somebody comes up and says, Four Gwinnett, what is that? They've asked.
Right. They've entered in.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I live here too. I'm for this community.
Yeah.
So are you. But what does this mean? So now we've created common ground, and now we've created a conversation. If you can create common ground and conversation, you're bridging that gap between the church and the community.
Man, I love it. You know, what's interesting, when I get an opportunity to lead the Four Gwinnett store team on Sundays, one of the things that I kind of say as we're leading our team is, let's go out there and let's make cheerleaders for Gwinnett.
Wow.
You know, let's put them in the uniforms and let's have them go and root us on from the sidelines, which are in their homes and in their workplaces and in their communities. So I absolutely love it. And I do think that it is a practice of our church to kind of push forward this mentality. So my next question to you is, outside of maybe outfitting the people that attend the church, what are some best practices for a church to start practicing the mentality of thinking for your neighbor?
Okay, first of all, let me stop you and say, you just gave an example. You just flew by it, but I need to pause.
Okay, rewind.
For church leaders, what Tony just said is so important. So it's a Sunday. We're about to go out. And she said, here's what we're doing. All right. Mm. It's not just, hey, here's some coffee. Let's just go out and sell some T-shirts or whatever. You cast vision for the volunteers.
Yeah.
All right. So again, vision casters are vision carriers.
Mm.
And so what you're trying to do is to have people that will carry the vision. And as they carry the vision, they're actually casting the vision. But here's the other thing that we got to do, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have this message and then they come in and then it's all insider language and people feel like they don't belong. If you do this, you will market to your detriment. So people come in, they see a T-shirt, oh, you're for me. Then they come in and then they feel like they don't belong.
Right.
So our whole Sunday environment is really geared toward the first timer.
Yeah.
And that's just what we do. That
yeah.
may be not the context. And again, you can share your context, share this within your context. But we have signs, and you've seen them, where we actually have our volunteers tap a sign that says, every Sunday is someone's first Sunday.
Yeah.
Every Sunday is someone's first Sunday. We got that from the University of Notre Dame football team that says, play like a champion today. So we want our volunteers to play like a champion today by tapping a sign that says, every Sunday is someone's first Sunday.
Wow.
I say that. I have my new friend Anastasia here. I think that's design thinking, right? When we're telling them, hey, here's a design on a building that reminds you of what the vision is.
Wow.
And so we want people to understand that we are on high alert for new guests, because this is an opportunity for us to show if we're actually for them. They saw the T-shirt, they saw the card magnet. Now we get to see if we're really, really in this. So there's a lot of things I could talk about, but let me just share with you two things that I think that are really important in your church. And I think that pretty much any church could do this. I talked a little bit about this on stage, and your daughter has benefited from this, Tony, doing this. And it's the wagons. Okay, it's
oh,
the Fort Gwinnett
yes,
wagons.
The wagons.
So if you've got a preschooler, you come in. We have a group of volunteers called the Wagoneers. I love that name. And we didn't
Perfect.
Come up with that name. Somebody
oh, yeah.
came up with So it's the Wagoneers. Hey, we want to be – they actually came to me. Can we call ourselves the Wagoneers? Absolutely.
Sure.
I love that. So,
Wait.
So they pull up this little wagon, and they ask if the children would like to ride in to the church on the wagon. And as they do, moms and dads are taking pictures, and they're posting it on Facebook
For sure.
and all that. But even in this brief moment, what we've said is, we were expecting you, we were ready for you, and we think you're going to have a great, great experience
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those pictures, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On my wall.
So it's kind of become like a rite of passage, you know, once you've got in. Then for our guest services team, we have guest services strategy. Here's how we want you to treat our guests. But one of the values is deliver wow through service.
Mm.
Deliver wow through service. What that means is we want somebody to go, wow, they actually paid attention to me.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So we actually challenge each of our guest services volunteers to wow one person every Sunday. Just wow. It could be you could hear somebody coughing maybe. You bring them a cup of water. You, hey, would you like some coffee? Can I refill your coffee?
Wow.
We've had people whose tires have been flat, so we just go out and change their tire while they're in the service. All these kind of things that go
so
on. We want people to go, wow. But here's the beauty of this. If you'll wow one person, and if you'll wow one person, if you'll wow one person, then collectively we wow a lot of people, and people walk away and they go, wow, they're really for me. Maybe, just maybe, God's for me too.
Wow.
And so, again, the hero of the story is Jesus. It's not Gwinnett Church, but the hero of the story is also the community. And so
yeah.
there's a mindset shift, I think, when it happens with churches. And I talked a little bit about this.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great for churches to do an inventory of their social media posts.
Yeah.
Because 99% of what they're posting is about what's going on inside the church. Come to Sunday morning, come to Wednesday night. And we need to do that. And I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be at 99%.
Right.
And what you've got to do is you've got to highlight people in the community,
yeah.
highlight this worker that was at Starbucks, that she's amazing, highlight this school. There's an event actually happening this Saturday for special needs children. We've been highlighting that on our Twitter feed this week just to say, you need to go to this in the city of Suwannee. It has nothing to do with come to Sunday. Now, we will tell them what's going on Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's that mentality that, and I think if we can shift our social media presence, mm-hmm. it actually is an indicator that we're really being more for our neighbor and
wow.
more neighbor-minded.
I love that. Okay. Before I even transition into this next question, I feel like it's going to be so important. I have to recap. So we've got, we're wowing people. We're creating those moments where they can truly say, wow, this church is for me. And then
right.
we're managing our social media well. So we're being good stewards over our social media and not just posting events and what's coming up on Sunday
right.
and the worship, but we're also highlighting people so they can feel like heroes, if you will. And then we've got these amazing wagons, okay, where the kids feel special, like, wow, you really care about me and how I enter into this building. But you have all these different things, and we're even outfitting people. So we're creating cheerleaders in the environment and in the community. But what's the impact of that? How do you see people's lives being changed because of those little small changes in your church?
Well, the wonderful thing is that it's allowed people to invite people into the gospel who would say, I don't know that I can, you know, want to go up to somebody at the grocery store and say, do you know who Jesus is? But but it's people that said, hey, I want to be for you, and I'm for this community. And so we've heard so many stories. I'll give you just one.
Okay.
So when we bought the property that we're currently on, the city said, hey, you can put up a sign that says Gwinnett Church coming whenever. And I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have the word church right now. I want to just have #ForGwinnett. That's it. And so we had this big sign, big billboard on this sign. It just said #ForGwinnett. And no one could figure out what this was. They thought it was a school. They thought it was a business. They thought it was maybe a real estate development. And I had some people, you know, in our organization saying, hey, this is kind of confusing. Nobody knows what this is. And my response to that was, exactly. I want there to be suspense. So we were actually able to eavesdrop in on social media. They were thinking, what is this? What is this? Then we sent everyone with the T-shirts into the community. And we said, so now you're going to be the answer to that. So great question. I mean, great story. So Kim Hartsock, I don't know if you know Kim.
Oh, yeah.
So she serves in our elementary student environment. She has a ForGwinnett T-shirt on in the grocery store. Guy sees it and turns around and says, ForGwinnett. Hey, is that a school? What? I mean, nobody knows what that is. What is it? And so here's the moment. All right. So suddenly Kim becomes the voice of Gwinnett Church. Right. And so this is what she says. She says, no, it's actually a church. And he says, a church? Why does it say ForGwinnett? Well, many people are more familiar with what the church is against. We just want to let the people know what our church is for. And we're ForGwinnett. And she goes on. And then he looks at her and says, do you have a card? That was it. So it was. So what happened in the grocery store line, conversation and common ground, and she invited him to church in not an awkward, aggressive way. It just happened. Yeah. So I could keep us here for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, telling
okay,
stories.
So there's a guy named Steve. Steve did this. But what happens in those moments, Kim and Steve, they're amazing business people, and they're a part of our ministry. And what I tell business people, by the way, I used to be in the business world, and people say, when did you go into full-time ministry? And I'll tell them, I already was in full-time ministry, okay? So it's not like this dividing line.
Right.
But for people in the business world as well, this is an opportunity then for to the front line of the ministry in the grocery store line. And they're actually in the mission field within the actual ebb and flow of everyday life. Kim was just going to the grocery store, so there's a guy.
Yeah.
And she just happened to go, I got to put my ForGwinnett shirt on. Let's see what happens.
Wow.
And so that's the exciting thing I'll tell the church. When you put that shirt on and when you get in your car with that ForGwinnett magnet on, you have no idea what God's about to do.
Wow.
And now that doesn't happen all the time, but we've heard
countless stories
about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for sharing. You know, as I'm thinking about this topic, I'm so personally inspired, of course, because I go to Gwinnett and I feel that love and that forness, if you will, every single day. But the cool thing about this podcast is we have so many different types of listeners. We have church leaders. We have people that are just doing life and need some information. And I bet that because our audience is so broad, we have people that are listening right now and saying, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. But I can't do this. I don't have the resources to do this. I'm not sure how to do this, and I may not even have the budget to do this and to outfit these people. What would you tell those people, and maybe where would you point them as far as resources goes that they can, you know, start to learn this method and really adopt it in their own environment?
Great question. Well, first of all, it doesn't take a lot of money.
Okay.
But I would say this to leaders, never let resources keep you from doing what God's calling you to do. It's usually not a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness.
Wait, can you just, I think we may need to hear that one more time.
Well, it's usually not a lack of resources. It's usually a lack of resourcefulness. So anytime I have a leader that says, we just don't have it in our budget, my response is, well, go find somebody that will give to your budget. I mean, just go ask 10 people, will you help me do this?
Wow.
And so don't be passive and go, we just don't have it in our budget. You know, be resourceful and go to people and say, here's our vision. Will you help me? And 9 out of 10 people will tell you, no, that's okay. You just need one. And one of the best fundraising questions you'll ever ask is, will you help me do this? So first of all, you can do this. But secondly, the other thing, Tony, and you know this, you see this one, and we're so honored by this. We have other churches that are doing this, and we'll see it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so we want to help. So we've had a lot of people call us and say, will you meet? And so we're launching something with Orange during the Orange tour. And basically what this resource is that they can, it's kind of a one-stop shop of everything. Here are the graphics, here's the wow. sermon series, here's all of our ideas in and a lot of the things we're not going to give you because we made mistakes.
Right? Right,
so
right.
We've generated through things. We're never going to do that again.
Yeah, never.
So all of this, I think, will fast track you forward yeah. and will allow you to do this in a very efficient way, in a very financially efficient way.
Oh, great.
And will allow you all of these ideas that you don't have to think up on your own. And the exciting thing for me is that I think churches are going to get this and make it even better. And we've had churches that, they've come to me and said, hey, can we do the four campaign? And I'm like, well, I don't own the word four. So
yeah, that's great. Right.
But I've seen what they're doing and I'm thinking, wow. That's New Spring Church in South Carolina. They do 4SE. And there's some things that they've done, and I thought, we're gonna do that too. So one of the things we're excited about is this thing we're going to launch with Orange. I think it's really a movement.
Wow.
I think what we're trying to do is to change the brand awareness of many churches in our communities.
Wow, that's great.
That people think that they're just, that's for church people.
Right.
And so we want to change the brand awareness. So long answer to your question, I think you be resourceful and find the money. Mm-hmm. What we're going to offer is not that expensive, but it's all these ideas in one little product that you can kind of leverage immediately.
Wow. Listen, last question for you, Jeff. I can stay here all day and talk about this because I think it's such an important topic. And I think that so many church members are just crying out for their churches to see them and to recognize them and to recognize what's going on in the community. Last question. What advice would you have for church leaders that currently can't see past the conflict within their own church? So the conflict within their own church being a barrier to what's going on outside their church.
Right. That's so tough. See, I grew up a preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. And I can remember as a little boy hearing my dad tell my mom, Deacon so-and-so doesn't like this, brother so-and-so doesn't mm-hmm. like this. And the first thought I had of the church was, why do these people not like my dad? That was the
wow.
first thought I had of church world. So,
wow.
So that's one of the reasons, Tony, I promised myself I would never work at a church. So never tell God you're never going to do something.
Right, because here you are.
That's right. So I will just say this. I don't know the particular situation at your church. I just know I know church conflict. I'm a preacher's kid. I totally understand that.
Mm.
So I don't know what the governing situation that you have is.
Wow.
I don't know if it's the deacon board, the elder boards. I'm speaking into something where I don't know your context. So I'm very hesitant to necessarily do that. I'll just say this. If our church ever trended toward focusing more on insiders than outsiders, I think I'll just go do something else.
Mm.
And the way that you know that you're focusing on insiders versus outsiders is look at what the conflict is.
Yeah.
If the conflict is about the carpet on the floor and the volume of the music and this or that, you're focusing on insiders and you're actually drifting off message. And so what happens for any church and really any organization is a malady called insider-itis.
Huh.
Insider-itis is choosing to focus on insiders over outsiders.
Wow.
And so one of the questions that I ask other churches when they're having conflict, especially in their staff meetings or elder boards, is ask them to start with this question. Let's go around the room and let's talk about the person that you've been inviting to church and that you're praying for and that you hope they come on Sunday. All right, so Steve, we're going to start with you. And if Steve goes, I don't have anybody. Okay, well, Mary, let's start with you. Mary, who are you bringing? I don't have anybody. All right. We've just bumped up into an issue that none of us, and we're, by the way, we're the leaders. We yeah. don't have anybody we're bringing to church.
Wow.
We don't have anybody we're praying for. No wonder we're in massive conflict, okay? By the way, in a church world, you're pushing against darkness, all right? That's what you're doing.
You're in the trenches.
Yeah, but you have to understand this. Darkness is going to push back. When you push against darkness, darkness pushes back. So
wow.
no wonder there's confusion. No wonder there's turmoil.
Wow.
So if nobody on the leadership team is actually brokenhearted because Steve over here at Starbucks doesn't know Jesus, then no wonder we're off mission.
Wow.
So get that leadership team, get that elder board and say, we're going to go around the room right now and we're going to pray for the people that you've invited to church. And if
wow.
no one on your elder board has invited anybody to church for 6 months to a year, I guarantee you, you're focused on the wrong issue.
Oh my God. Jeff.
So So anyway, that's the issue. So that's the first place I would start is who are we brokenhearted for and who are we praying for? Not necessarily ministry practices and all that kind of stuff. That we could debate that forever. Who are you brokenhearted for and who are you bringing? And when, and we say this all the time, and you know this, Tony, and then I'll be done. When you bring a first-time guest who doesn't know Jesus to your church, you no longer see it through your eyes. You see it through theirs. And so you're thinking, I hope the music's good. I hope their kids love it. And you're kind of doing this the whole time. You know, you're kind of looking at them like you don't want to necessarily look at them, so you're doing peripheral vision. But you see the church through their eyes. That's one of the most healthy places a church can be. So the more that you can get people to see the church not through their eyes, but through the people that they're bringing through their eyes, that's going to help change the context of the conversation.
Jeff, you just gave us marital advice at the same time, okay? That just happened right here. But before we head out, I just have to say one of the things that really broke my heart in this moment was when you talked about that darkness pushing back up against us as leaders.
Right.
And I just think it's so important for us to just be aware of that. Be aware that adversity will come, conflict Absolutely. Will come, and it will push us. But the power that we have to overcome it. It's just so beautiful, and God has equipped us for that. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us on this podcast. I think that this is probably one of the most important topics when you're focusing on what's outside of the four walls of your church. And I believe that for those that are listening, for our pastors and leadership teams that are saying, the specific people that are saying, hey, I don't have the resources, I want to point you to the Gwinnett Church Instagram pages. Okay, this is not a shameless plug, but I think that you'll find so much, and you can discover so much, just like we discover on Google, on social media. And
That's right.
I think that it'd be a great idea if you use this free resource, which is a follow button, okay, and head on over to Gwinnett Church and look at what they're doing, because they are highlighting everything. Jeff, thank you so much again. My name is Tony Collier, and we're out.
Wow, Ash, that was fantastic.
It was.
I mean, Jeff Henderson. What can you say?
I'm so proud that he's my pastor.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things I love about Jeff, he doesn't just talk about being for your neighbor. He doesn't just talk about being for the community. You get a sense, I mean, even if you don't know him, you get a sense that this is honest, this is authentic, this is genuinely what he is about.
Totally. It's like, you believe everything that he says.
Yeah, because you know that he's for the community. Totally. One of the things I love, if you go to Gwinnett Church ever, you'll see there's a mural on the wall that says, for too long the church has been known for what it was against. It's time that we were known for what we were for.
Preach.
Such a great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing thing. When has there ever been a time just recently in your life where you've had the opportunity to be for somebody who was in your sphere of influence?
Yeah, you know, when he was talking, I was thinking specifically about my time in Uganda. I was sitting under this lovely coffee tree, which is so fun to actually say, in the middle of Uganda. Countryside, and I was sitting with this man named Philip and his wife named Miriam, and they were like 70 something, been married for 50 plus years, and they were fabulous. And
wow.
It was so cute because they were holding hands, and I just loved it so much because old people are cute. Anyways, and when I was introducing myself, I was like, "Hi, I'm Ashley, and I'm a student pastor for students ages 10 to 18." And
yeah.
He kind of like jumped back a little bit. And he was like, I mean, this is all through a translator, but he's like, "Are you a Christian pastor?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Well, I'm a third generation witch doctor. Why are you here? Are you here to burn all of my stuff?"
No.
Yes. And I'm like, in my head, honestly, stereotypes clash. And I'm like, "No, are you here to sacrifice me?" Like, what? And it was like this moment where I'm looking at him thinking, man, that's what you know about Christians,
yeah.
Is you're wondering if I came to burn all of your stuff because I'm against what you are for. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that made me. And I was like, no, that's not why I'm here. I'm just here to get to know you. So it was a cool moment to be for my neighbor who's all the way across the world.
Yeah. And it sounds like you had a great opportunity to show him that you were for him.
I did get to show him
that. And break
that
stereotype.
Yeah, without having to say that exactly. I was able to just love him.
That's so good. I absolutely love that. It's a great story. Yeah, Jeff just killed it. But I mean, Pat Rowland kicked that off in such an amazing way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he talked about, That was incredible.
It was. You know, I love it. How do you be for your neighbors if you don't understand them and know them? And some of the statistics you shared really open your eyes.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's funny, right? He goes through all these statistics, which, I mean, half of them, I was just, my jaw was on the table because I could not believe, like, especially that one, only 18% of unchurched populations are in traditional families.
I had no idea.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. The traditional husband and wife family is the exception now. Yet how many churches are still marketing towards that traditional family? Yeah. Even
or pushing like, people.
Like, yeah. And maybe not intentionally, but in just the paraphernalia that we put out, in the stuff we post on social media, the banners we have around the church. I mean, that we don't understand that that's the exception. That's what I
love. Or the people we hire.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was incredible to hear all those numbers. And it just reminded me again that numbers matter because people count. Mm-hmm. That was why Pat's talk was so powerful to me, because numbers matter because people count. Sometimes we get caught in those statistics, but each statistic represents a person.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because I think when numbers become faces, names, and stories, it changes the way that you can love them.
Could not agree more. And we need to start to care more about the people who are outside the walls of our church. That's how we start to think. That with that mentality of being for our neighbor, being for the families in our community. Absolutely loved it. It was incredible. This has been an incredible episode.
I think this might be one of my favorite.
Episode 13 is going to go down as one of the best ones. Lucky 13. That's exactly what it is. Hey, speaking of some numbers that really do count, there's four things we want people to do as we close out today's podcast. The first one would be to subscribe to this podcast. There's a number of different ways that you can do that. So figure it out. Make sure you subscribe, because that goes a long way. What's the second thing they can do, Ash?
We would love to hear from you. Rate us, leave a review, give us a star number, like you're playing a video game, you know? and leave us some comments. Tell us what your takeaways are, just like we tell you ours.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And also the third thing is, we want to make sure that you get the most out of these podcasts. And the best way to do that is go to our show notes. Right there, you'll find all the information about all the people who spoke. You can find out extra information about their resources and about some of the resources we have. Plus, you get a whole bunch of social media friendly quotes and tweets and all sorts of things like that. All you need to do is go to the thinkorangepodcast.com. I'm going to say that again. Thinkorangepodcast.com. Thinkorangepodcast.com. And you'll get all the details.
If his accent's too thick, it's thinkorangepodcast.com.
Nice. I really appreciate it. And there's one more thing we would love for you to do, and that is to share this podcast with your team or with a friend. Just start spreading the word around. We've got some incredible communicators throughout this whole podcast, and we would love for you to share it with people who might get something out of it, and hopefully it'll help influence the way that they're influencing the next generation. So that would be amazing. Amazing. You're going to share it with a friend, this one?
Yeah.
How many friends could you think of right now who need to hear this?
Seven.
I've got like seven or eight as well. I'm going to make sure that I share it as soon as we switch these microphones
off. I want to listen to it with my team.
That's a great idea. I'm going to take it home and listen to it with my kids.
I can't do that.
Well, you can listen to it with my kids as well if you want. We'll invite you around and we'll all do it together. How about that?
All right.
That's a great plan. I love it. And remember, everybody, as we always say to end off all of our podcasts, when you think next generation,
think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.